What's that at the bottom of the garden? Oh, it's the Hammer House of Horror.
Comes down to this, Chuck. I mean, thank God, because I tell you,
yeah,
seasonal depression setting in.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, yeah. You're telling me it's starting to hit.
Yeah,
we got to get up at 4:35, and my eyes just don't want to stay open. I know you know.
I know. I mean, you know, it's so funny how we, you know, when the alarm goes off. Every morning, we're like facing each other.
Yeah.
In our, you know, funny. Not in the same bed, but our beds are like, we have like the nightstand in between our single beds.
Yeah. Yeah. But I usually go to sleep on my back, but I always end up facing you when it's morning time, you know.
It's crazy. It's just
it's like a kind of it's a weird game of like reverse chicken or something. Like us waking up. Like I'll wake up and I'll peek at you. It's like, oh, he's not up yet. Maybe I'll sleep a little more.
I know.
I don't want to be the last one up. I guess that's what I'm saying.
No. Well, it's too much. It's too much to think about because once you get the day started, once we get that coffee pot turning on, you know. Get us out the door with our Stanley thermoses.
Yeah.
And that's just for the coffee to get to the coffee store. That's just the coffee we need to get more coffee.
It's funny, you know, that it's a go world, and sometimes it feels like that, right? Like it's just you're drinking coffee just to get to the next coffee break.
Yeah, man. Jeez.
Good Lord. You really hit it on the head there. Speaking of which, are you good? Do you need a top off?
Yeah, no, please. No.
You're good.
Like, we still got too much to do tonight.
All right. Before we go any further, we're not, for the folks at home, we're not in the F-150 right now. And I have to, I actually have to talk to Dale about this. I didn't want to do this now, but whatever. This is just, I need to get it out because it's kind of weighing on me.
Okay.
Do you remember when we went to Atlantic City a couple weekends ago, Dale? And we,
yeah, I do.
I guess I had a little bit too good of a time because I ended up placing a little bit of a side bet while I was down there, something a little off the books. Okay. And I, you know, I was hoping it would be, you know, a nice landfall and we could do something special. Unfortunately, I owe a lot of money to this guy. So I had to sell the F-150 and a few other things, but that's, you know, that's the main thing.
The main thing, you sold the F-150.
Yeah, I mean, that
if I get up off of this couch and I look through the blinds,
yeah, it's not there. I got your cans and your gloves out of the side there, the well there, and your travel mug. I got that out. I cleaned it out pretty good, you know. But yeah, the guy came this afternoon because I, you know, it's enough. Look, it's a good start, like to keep this guy off my back. I mean, our back. If I'm being transparent, he might. Yeah, it's. I put up some collateral. It's a bit. A lot of things is what I'm saying. And, you know, look, I'm not proud of this. Dale, you know this isn't me, right?
That, no, it's very. It's not like you. This is not like you.
I feel ashamed. I feel like I threw away something good that we built together. And I can only hope that...
Like, I'm reading between the lines here, collateral, customer lists, like collateral, like more than just the F-150, like the average, like the words on the side of the F-150.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah. I mean, I
like how... No, yeah, let's soften the blow by talking about it live on our podcast where we review Hammer TV.
I mean, this guy, he had a lawyer, Dale, and everything, and he made me sign this paperwork. Look, I had a lot of Budweisers that night. You remember, right?
you were the king. You kept calling yourself the king of beer that night.
Yeah, I had that little, the like waitress made that little crown out of a placemat, and I was wearing it, and yeah.
You kept neighing like a Clydesdale. And you kept pointing out that it wasn't just the sounds of a horse, that it was the sounds of a Clydesdale. Like, you kept pointing that out to me.
I'm sorry. I'm just getting a little emotional.
Yeah, you should be, because it's all coming crashing down. 'Tis the season.
I just don't want this to affect our friendship. That's the bottom line. No matter what happens in the next few days, no matter if we're on the street, you know.
Oh, my God.
If, you know, we don't have a way to make a living, I just want you to know that I'm still there for you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I'm at a loss here, because I just feel like, yeah, no, there you go. I just feel like it's probably a lot worse than, but you bought yourself time by saying over the next few days. Like, you already know the outcome. You already know how bad it is, but you're just trying to soften the blow.
I mean, it's good timing, because, like, I mean, they're probably going to take all this, the microphones and recording equipment, probably... like in 2 days, I'll be here for that stuff. So,
wow.
So it's actually kind of, you know, it's, hey, maybe it's, you know, it's funny how life works sometimes, you know, right when we're finishing the last episode of, Hammer House of Horror, we won't be able to record anyway.
Yeah.
Next week. So
I was just going to bring up like what we were going to do next, but
I mean, honestly, what we got to do is buy the paper in the morning and, look at the classifieds. That's what we need to do. But I'll be there for you, Dale. I'm not going to leave you hanging. I'll always be there for you.
You're going to be there.
I'm going to be there for you.
No, yeah.
Don't you worry about it.
I'm a bit panicked. I can't even remember the TV that we watched for this episode. I'm a little panicked right now.
Well,
I didn't see it coming. Not even after the antics in Atlantic City, not even after that, those weird people that you pretended to be best friends with. were there with us.
There were some cool people down there, Dale. I won't lie about that. They were cool. Very cool. But they just, you know, they think they tricked me. I think they tricked me.
Something tells me that they tricked you. Boy. Well, so I mean, should we do an episode? Are you going to be able to record this before they...
Yeah, I think if we wrap it up in the next 20 minutes, we can definitely safely get one in the can and edited. So we might as well truck ahead. I mean, I'm not the type of person. I don't know about you. I don't like leaving people in the lurch. So we should finish what we started, you know.
No, yeah, no. We have an obligation to everybody else except ourselves.
Yeah.
You know,
that's something my mom told me when I was, you know, a little property manager, just in my diapies, you know, never take care of yourself, Charles. Always take care of everyone else around you. And I
never grow up to legal gambling age.
I really thought it was going to be something special. I thought, I wanted to take you on a trip, Dale. I wanted to. Look, right. That's not, look.
You had good intentions, I suppose. You had the best intentions.
I don't.
But it's over now.
I don't.
We're going on a trip.
Yeah. Can you just tell the listeners what the episode The Mark of Satan was about, please?
So The Mark of Satan is Edwin. He works at the local hospital system, and he starts working. He transferred job, and he works in the mortician's office. He helps prep the bodies, and very quickly he becomes. I just paused myself, Chuck, because I just, in my mind, I looked down to the end of this synopsis, and from this point to that point, it was like 13 minutes. So, I already was like, how am I going to do this?
We got to focus. We got to get through this.
We got one more show to do. We got to bang this out for the people. Edwin becomes obsessed with a conspiracy that he thinks is against him, where he has been infected with a virus of evil, an evil virus, and he is being sent transmissions and become infected by the people in his life, and there it's not easy to get rid of once he's infected.
I mean, thank God he's on the case. You know, he's got it all figured out. You know, he's seen all the patterns, all the numbers and everything, you know?
He's obsessed with the number 9.
A nurse gave me £9 when it should have been 16. Markham told me a body I brought in should be number 9. Later he told me to do 9 stitches to every 3 inches. That caused me to prick my finger with a needle. That's what they wanted. And this house is number 9.
Yeah. Our Edwin. And it's not 666, the mark of the beast. It's the number 9.
The number 9
in this instance. He quickly falls into a deep hole of conspiracy, and already losing the fight before he's even had a chance to fight it.
Oh yeah.
In a bad way mentally.
Yeah. And he's got a shitty mom. Well, I don't know. He's got a mom.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's, yeah, I think she's pretty shitty. She was pretty shitty. Whether she knows, in my opinion,
yes,
she knows what she's up against in him. So maybe she's already predisposed to have an attitude with him.
Yeah. But it's also, it's like a chicken and egg thing. Cause it's like, if Edwin, I mean, how old is this guy? Like 43?
That's fair.
He's not,
I mean,
you know, he's been living with mom a long time, we should say.
Yeah,
maybe,
I was surprised.
Maybe things would have turned out differently for Edwin if he had left the nest a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all tied up. Oh, yeah, he thinks his mom killed his mom, or his dad gave him the virus, right? Isn't that part of it? And then there's this whole subplot with the border, a new mom who lives in the building who kind of takes Edwin under her wing. There's a lot going on.
I have to say right off the bat, if not for this renter,
yeah,
if not for this this lessee, the lessor, if not for this person so desperate to cling on to the life that she has in her upstairs apartment, things might have turned out a whole lot different for Edwin.
Imagine being a young single mom, the newborn, living in an efficiency apartment, and you see Edwin and you think, that's my ticket. That's it.
Yeah, my God.
This is how I'm going to move up in the world, is this guy who won't stop talking about the number 9 while he's there to collect the rent. Seemingly unconcerned with the rent, just talking about his crazy numbers, like throwing out red flags on the field. Left and right,
but this is good for her. If she could just put up with him for the rest of her life and her child's life, she's got it pretty good.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
she's got it pretty good there.
That's what I kept thinking. I was like, wow, she's just like, She knows what she wants. She wants to get into this situation, push old mom out, get this house under her control, and live out the rest of her years with this Edwin, you know?
I mean, she has already spent mom's pension.
Oh, yeah.
She got mom shipped off to the home, and she is taking care of Edwin and spending that pension money.
She didn't even kiss. No kisses were exchanged at all, and she was already suggesting mom goes into a home. And we should say, it's also like Edwin, it's actually, I love the scenes between these two because they were both saying insane stuff to each other, but they're so equally in their own ways closed off. Like they're so insulated and self-absorbed that the other person could have been saying anything, any crazy shit in the world, and they wouldn't have really noticed.
That's brilliant.
You know? Because they're both so concerned with the crazy thing they're thinking about that has to do with only them. And I love that. That was like, I don't know. It was like frustrating to watch, but in a really cool way to watch these two interact. It's hard to describe. I
think for a lot of reasons, like this is one of the top tier episodes, I think, in terms of acting and in terms of the actors, like, acting their character, like being their character in this episode. Edwin, I think, was on fire.
Amazing.
The guy who played Edwin, he was selling it so well. Whether you think the plot is kooky or not, he was acting his ass off.
He did it so well.
In this.
So well. Because like stories like this are sort of, like I'm sort of like not into them. Like when I hear a description of a movie or something like this, where it's like, oh, it's like a guy going insane. He's obsessed with numbers and seeing patterns that aren't there. Like that always kind of turns me off. But man, this Peter McHenry playing Edwin, man, he sold this so well. It was so subtle because like it like lulls you in. Like you're like, oh, okay, this guy's just a normal guy working his job at the dealing with dead bodies and working with these kooky like doctors, like who just won't stop talking.
Jeez.
And maybe Edwin's a little dim, whatever, you know, but he's doing his thing. But like it just slowly builds up and he slowly reveals the crazy things that he's thinking, like about the patterns and the numbers and getting messages from the the thing? The wind. What's that called?
The weather vane
up there, like through the radio, and oh my God, just thinking everyone's in on it and they're all out there to get him to do whatever they want him to do.
It was so crazy to know, like 17 minutes into the episode, you're like, you figure out that Edwin has been kind of crazy since the beginning of the episode.
Yeah.
It's not when he hears the story about Holt and it's not when he pricks his finger, but it's just feeding into Edwin's craziness from the beginning.
I think it's not till he goes into Stella's apartment and he just all of a sudden just starts saying everything that's been in his head. And you're like, oh, wow. Okay. Holy moly.
Like he just needed, that whole Holt scenario was what finally enabled him to start speaking outwardly about it. But he's been bottling this up for who knows how
long. How about him with he's like got his little crypto word stuff with the Stanley Holt's name and like doing the numbers. Oh, this equals this. I was like, oh man. Oh God.
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to need to pause the camera here because I need to know what kind of code he's working out.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Did
I
you figure
like,
out?
I was like, I wanted to know kind of what the logic was that he was working with.
Yeah. What his logic was because it was, I mean, whatever it was, he made it work for him. Whatever fit the narrative, that's what the code worked out to be.
Oh, yeah.
And the way he would like dismiss his mom, like funnily and like, how it would just like roll off her back.
Yeah.
How he's just telling her to shut it. And
but she's like kind of deaf. And she's like, what? What'd you say?
Yeah, right. Oh yeah, with Stella, the renter. When she's talking about, she's basically calling her a whore because she's had a baby and amazing. She's just like bringing
that was such an amazing detail. Oh my god.
Mm-hmm.
Both of these, Stella and Edwin, they were both amazing. They felt like real people. I don't know. I was sold hook, line, and sinker with all these people.
I like how the suggestion on to make the evil go away, eating the baby would have never entered Edwin's mind. But he had heard that this is what Holt believed to be true.
Yeah.
There nowhere in any religious texts or medical science does it suggest that eating any baby.
Yeah.
But since he read about it because that's what Holt believed, he's like, well, that's probably what it is then.
Yeah.
I got to eat the baby.
And we should say Holt, this guy died because he tried to drill a hole in his head to let the evil out.
Yeah.
So it at the end, towards the end, Edwin is like, well, they got me and my finger got pricked with his blood. I got the evil virus in me. So it's either eat a baby or drill a hole in my head.
Yeah.
Those are my only choices. Yes. It's just him sweating it out until the end.
My God.
And it just so happens the border has a newborn baby. And every time he's like looking at the baby, I'm like, no, Edwin. Yeah.
He can't
stop.
Be in the same room.
I know.
He can't be in the same room with this newborn babe because he's just like starts sweating at this because he sees like it's crossing his mind he may not ever do it but the fact that he's got to think about it,
oh my god,
he's like in a cold sweat.
Yeah, and then there's this whole part where he like things get really crazy and you sort of see his paranoia played out. We see like all the people in his lives, his coworkers, like actually like talking over him like, oh, the, you know, we did this, ha ha ha, you know. But what's happening is he ended up in the hospital and being treated for his paranoia, whatever mental illness he has. And he comes out of it, out of those like sort of dreams or hallucinations, and he's seemingly okay. Oh, we should say he killed his mom.
He did. Yeah, that's not without. Yeah,
I forgot about that. He killed his mom and
didn't kill his mom.
And Stella the border helped him clean it up and put mom in the chest freezer, which has no lock.
Which is where, I mean, which is like, it made everything like 125% harder to deal with because she was so willing. She's just so willing. She's like, oh, well, you know, she's dead, but now's my chance.
I know
that, we're going to have to stuff her in the freezer.
That was an amazing jump. When Stella walks in and sees that he just stabbed his mom to death. She goes, oh, they're going to take you away and lock you up. And then, like, not 2 seconds later, she's like, come on, let's clean this up. Because she realized, oh, I could save this. I can fix this. And still.
Yeah, I got this.
I could still get this situation under my control. I mean, we're making her sound like a super evil person, but she wasn't really, I think. She was just almost damaged, just like Edwin, but in a different way.
Right.
Yeah.
And she just wanted what was best.
Yeah. She wanted a good life for her baby.
Sort of.
She wanted.
Yeah, sort of, yeah.
Sort of.
Whether that involved, you know, moving in with Steve up until the point they broke up or not.
Oh, yeah, you know, Steve.
Steve was a real catch up until he wasn't.
They should have had Steve wear sunglasses, because he was all paranoid about people with sunglasses for a little bit in the beginning there.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that was never explained.
But maybe that's what, maybe they didn't give him sunglasses because then that's why he trusted Stella, maybe.
Oh, right.
Maybe that's why.
Right, because he wouldn't have believed Stella.
Yeah, he wouldn't have spilled the beans to her.
She
was
right.
Cohorting with a sunglassed man.
I like the doctor when he brings up to Edwin who's been treated. The doctor's like, does the number 9 mean anything to you now? Edwin's like, no. He's like, we got rid of the trigger. We treated it.
I know.
right in front of him.
He's like, we did it. We totally cured his ass.
Yeah.
And like, I'm like, look at him. He totally was sweating under. He was having a fight in his head. I could see it.
I know. This is literally what crazy people will do.
Yeah.
to get away with something.
Of course, he's gonna say no. He doesn't know what 9 means.
Yes. Yeah. He's lying to you. He doesn't want to be locked up. That's a fact.
Yeah. It did almost get me when he's released and like he's like going about his days back at the job. Everything seems normal-ish. His mom's still dead, which yeah. I was like, oh, okay. Well, because I was like, how much of this was his hallucination?
Yeah.
But then finally he like remembers and flips open that chest freezer. And yeah. Mom's in there.
Now I'll come see a flooding back.
Yeah. So, and in lieu of eating a baby, he drove himself back to work. Luckily he got transferred back to the operating wing of the hospital. So he could.
Everything's so much easier.
Yeah.
Because of that.
You give himself a little local anesthesia. Get the nice tiny drill out and go to town.
Hmm. He did not even hesitate, which I appreciated. He knew what he had to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was resigned.
So he just did it.
Yeah. It's funny. I thought when they started explaining how Stanley Holt drilled a hole in his own head. Have you heard of this? Because this is like, I think it's called trepanation. This is like a thing that like got popular, I think, in the 60s, where people would drill holes in their head to like allow more blood flow into their brain. And like, supposedly it gives you like a natural high and stuff like that.
Jesus.
And it was like a thing that people would do. Like, I don't know.
I've probably heard, yeah. It sounds like something I would have heard of, but my God, that's.
Yeah. But it went nowhere near that. Maybe it was just inspiration, but I totally thought that's what this was going to be about. And then it was not.
Yeah.
About that at all.
My gosh.
Yeah, I loved Edwin's like coworkers in the mortuary, these two clowns and that doctor just like loved jibber jabbering about stuff.
He was like he reminded me of was it Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, like the two, they were like two theatrical gravediggers, those two. The yeah. one was just super talky and super dramatic, like he worked in the community theater.
Totally.
And volunteered there.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Very much. Very much that energy.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But it was great. I don't know if it's something that, I don't know, I'd probably be bitching about it in my friend Discord, my job,
oh,
and how
no,
my
yeah, I've never stopped. You're really working with those people. Yeah, that would suck. No.
Yeah. Right. But for the show, I mean, it was just an added, and that was another thing I liked. It was just like an added flavor text to yeah. these characters that, as a whole, like made up this insane story full of characters.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah. And he visited the priest too. And the priest was like, oh boy.
Oh my God. How am I going to
help this guy? He's off his rocker. I did like how he turned
yeah,
to the,
and then
the page in the Bible was like, it's 666. It's has nothing to do with the beast. It's man. He was hoping yeah. that was going to help Edwin, but Edwin's like, yeah, fuck you.
And then Edwin looks up the hymnal board and it's hymns oh. 9, 18, and 36.
No.
God. No hope for that. Mm-mm. No hope for him then.
The amount of license plates out there for Edwin to look at and see numbers in? No.
Oh my God.
Not going to end well.
Yeah, it's no good. No good.
Mm-mm.
It was, I mean, but no good, but so good. I, you know, yeah. the only thing that upsets me, and that's, it's neither here nor there, but it's like, why isn't there a send-off at the end of this episode because the season's over or something? Because, you yeah. know, it's not coming back.
Yeah, no.
You know.
They didn't it's know. Like, they didn't know we'd be watching yeah. this 40 years later now and enjoying it so
I know.
Much.
Yeah, right. They didn't even know what a podcast was right mm-hmm. back then.
Yeah, but it was a good, it was, I'm glad we went out on a high because the last few I was like, I was getting kind of like,
mm-hmm.
these are not so great. But I liked this one quite a bit. I got a little excited because this episode is on the last disc. It's the only episode on the last disc. And it says on the discs, oh, there's also supplemental features on here. So I was yeah. licking my lips, rubbing my hands together, thought there was some treasure in here.
Yeah, like the whole, like your whole night was made.
I clicked on them, and all it was two very, like, under 10-minute interviews with two actresses from A Visitor from the Grave.
Oh.
That's it.
That's it. The whole
like,
season.
Why? Yeah. It was, that was just two interviews with actors from that one episode. That was the
Come
big
on.
Supplemental feature on there.
Why put us through that?
I don't know. I don't know. I
That's
mean, they
a
had
shame.
All, they had a whole disc, I guess, to fill, so they might as well have put something on there, but I don't know. Come on, Synapse.
I guess you have to I guess maybe if you head on over to HammerHouseOfHorrorTVSeries.co.uk is a thing I learned about tonight while doing my research.
Oh my gosh!
I mean, if this is fan made, it is a love letter to the Hammer House of Horror TV series.
What is it again? Sure. Hammer House of Horror
TV series.
TV series.
.co.uk. You can listen to the theme tune.
Oh wow!
Right on the homepage.
On the web since 1997.
Amazing. Original and definitive guide to filming locations of the series. Carbon copy, Dirk Feelgood. Dirk, we need boots on the ground here, dude.
Oh, my God. Wow. Carpathian Eagle, location confirmed. January 8th, 2020.
Wow. Recent as that.
Yeah. There's updates. Yeah, 2021. New location found. Location of the pub scene used in The House That Bled to Death has been discovered. It's the Jolly Bodger Pub in High Wycombe. Check out the High Wycombe location page.
Amazing.
Yeah, Dale. I mean, if we ever go to Old Blighty together, we should do a Hammer House of Horror tour. Should find this maniac and have him drive us around.
Yeah, the three of us. The three of us.
It'll be so comfortable. It'll be such a fun time. Yeah. Right. Wow, this guy.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, remember in episode 3 when this had, we're just like,
oof. Yeah, we're like, oh, man.
I don't actually, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I do remember. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, okay. That was a good one. That was funny, right? Gosh. So we shouldn't make fun of this unknown person. Come on.
I know, like we you're right. But I mean, what a run. This is an experience for the better. What a great TV series. Just makes us love Hammer even more.
Yeah. Yeah, it was it was way better than I was expecting, I think, all in all. Mm-hmm. It was awesome.
I guess that's it. I think with that, I mean, we're going to be taking a little bit of a break with our second episode of the week, but we're glad you could come along on this ride with us.
Yeah.
Stay in touch with us. If this is, for some reason, the only episode of the week you're listening to, go to batandspider.com, join our Discord, and listen to the main show, obviously, as well. But we're going to regroup, you know, take some time off for the holidays, figure out what we're going to do next.
Yeah, we'll probably we'll do more stuff in the Ko-fi for the Ko-fi members too. So keep your eye on that.
Oh yeah, that gives us more chance to do that, right? Which is, you know, they butter our bread. So folks, you know, you can't blame us.
The thickness of butter on our bread right now, it's indescribable. I can't even describe.
It's like the Kerry Irish Gold of butter, like the good butter.
Yeah.
Real butter. Real butter, as I used to call it as a child.
Real butter.
It was like, it was a treat. When my mom brought real butter into the house, it was like, what are we doing here with pinkies out butter, real butter? This doesn't happen, Mom. She'd get the Brake Stones, probably. This is usually the real butter that she would get. But it wasn't a lot.
I keep seeing people on TikTok eating butter like it's a candy bar, and it's, I don't know.
Oh God! What? They got your number. What are they doing to you over there?
I don't know.
Can you call them up and tell them to take that out of your algorithm? Because you keep watching it. You say you keep seeing it, but it means you keep seeing it. You keep seeing it with your eyes.
I know. Well, how do you not watch that? Oh, all right, Dale. It's been a pleasure. Get me out of here. Carry me off in a stretcher.
Get us out of here.
Put me in the. Put me in number 9. We'll be right back.
It's one thing to be enthralled by the wit and wisdom of the conservative brand of self-help. Another to attempt to penetrate one's cranium with a 3/8 bit purchased from the local ironmonger and without anesthetic.